KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
We're joined live in the studio today by Gemma Whalen, Portland-based and Irish-born writer, director, and educator. After leaving Ireland for the U.S., Gemma settled in the San Francisco Bay Area, where she directed more than 60 stage productions and was founding artistic director of Wild Irish Productions. She continued her theater career here in Portland, founding Corrib Theater and serving as artistic director until her retirement in 2022. For several years now, Gemma has shared her experience and knowledge by conducting theater tours in her homeland of Ireland. The sixth annual Irish Theater Tour takes place this summer from July 22nd through August 1st. Gemma, we last talked to KBOO for your novel Painting Through the Dark 2 years ago, so welcome back.
Thank you very much, Ken. Lovely to be here.
Now, Gemma, much of your career has taken place in the world of theater as an actress, writer, director, and you were the founding artistic director of two Irish-inspired companies, Wild Irish Productions in the Bay Area and Corrib Theater here in Portland. Did that passion for the stage start when you were growing up in Ireland?
Not really, because I didn't see, you know, I grew up in the country, and then I was in boarding school. I saw my first play when I was about 13, and in boarding school, and they let us out to see a play.
Do you remember the play?
I remember the play very well, because it was The Importance of Being Oscar by Micheál MacLemore, who is a very famous Irish theatre practitioner. He was actually one of the co-founders of the Gate Theatre, which is our, you know, on a par with the Abbey. And he had created this whole show for himself about Oscar Wilde. So actually, when I founded Wild Irish Productions in the Bay Area, the first play, it was partly, it's Wild with an E,
oh, by so the
way.
The
Wild
is
W-I-L-D-E. So it was for Oscar. Not that we were going to just do Oscar's plays. In fact, we didn't. But it was more his spirit, you know, the spirit of anything goes and taking chances and living on the edge as he did. So the first play that we did was actually The Importance of Being Oscar.
Ah.
So it was a tribute in a way. But I had seen that production by Micheál MacLemore, and it's a one-man show, very vivid. I was very struck by it, obviously, because it stayed with me all those years. But I didn't really have, there was no drama in my school. And when I went to college, there was actually, at that time, no drama programs.
And that was at Trinity College?
That was at Trinity College, so I studied English and French.
Wow, that one of the top universities in Ireland and no drama?
There was no drama then. Now they have a brilliant, it was founded in the 80s, but that was after I was there. The late 80s, they founded the Samuel Beckett Theatre Centre, which is now world-renowned. Mm-hmm. So they do have it now. It was, nobody really had drama programs then. Now there really are lots in other universities as well.
Now, when you went to San Francisco, I read that you signed up for an acting class.
Yes.
At the American Conservatory Theater.
I did.
And that somehow started your career in theater.
It did.
So it must have been very inspiring.
It was very inspiring. I mean, I remember it as being my first acting class, because I still didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I'd studied English and French. I'd spent a year in New York. And I had an idea that it was in the arts. So I wanted to express myself that way. But I signed up for this class. And I remember lying on the beautiful hardwood floor with the sun shining in San Francisco.
Oh, that beautiful San Francisco sun.
San Francisco sun. There was sun that day, anyway. and just, you know, breathing and thinking about what theater was and just learning the process. And there was something about, I think it was the excitement of, first of all, self-discovery, of having to reckon with yourself. And that's a big part of it. And then studying other people and being able to step into other people's shoes. Because, you know, I believe then, and I still believe, that it's about empathy. I mean, everything, in a way, is about empathy. And when things go wrong, it's often from a severe lack of empathy and being able to put yourself in other people's shoes. So yeah, it really was a light bulb moment. And after that, I signed up for graduate program at UC Berkeley.
And you were, after you graduated, you were founding artistic director of Wild with
yes.
an E,
yeah.
Irish Productions in the Bay Area. On their Facebook page, they describe themselves as, quote, dedicated to producing theater in the Irish spirit with a wild, without the E, bold, defiant voice. What attracts you to Irish theater, that wild, bold, defiant voice?
There's so many brilliant plays. First of all, there's brilliant Irish writing and brilliant playwrights. And
Small island, but so many great artists come from there.
Yes, so many great artists and a lot of them writers. You know, there aren't as many, I mean, there aren't as many visual artists or haven't been in the past. So it's kind of interesting, I think. And it might be something to do with the insular, you know, with being there and the weather, perhaps. But there were so many great writers. And also, I'm really attracted to telling stories about social conditions and the Ireland that I grew up in, and thankfully it has changed radically, but it's changed very quickly and really, really in the last just couple of decades. So much was hidden. There were so many secrets. There was, you know, a lot of, I mean, people know the stories now about the church.
And your novel, actually, which we talked about, Painting Through the Dark, goes into that.
It does. It does go into that. And my next novel goes into it even more. And also one of the plays that I directed there that I subsequently directed at Corrib was Eclipsed, which was a play about the Magdalene Laundries. And that was written by a nun who was there in the 1960s in one of these laundries, and she left because it was so horrendous.
And that's where pregnant girls were sent.
Yes, if they were unmarried, they were sent there, and then their babies were taken away.
Because, of course, abortion was illegal then.
Oh, gosh, yes, absolutely. Everything was pretty much illegal. And it was always the girls. It was just the girls, you know.
Not the...
Never heard about the men.
You're right, the
yeah.
biological
A lot of immaculate dads. Conceptions there. But it was really horrendous, and they were basically they worked as slaves. They were in these laundries. It was slave labor, and they were not paid. And they were worked morning till night, and they were told that their whole life had to be, you know, they had to do penance for this sin that they committed. And some of them never got out. Some of them spent their whole lives there. Some of them escaped. Some of them got out after a few years. It depended. It was all over the map. But the thing is that nobody seemed to know anything about that. I mean, I lived in Ireland at the time because the last laundry closed in 1998.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Well, yes.
Yeah, so I, you know, realized I was in college in Dublin while up the road from me, there was actually the last laundry that closed was not far from where I went to Trinity.
And there was no press about it and nobody
no.
was talking
oh,
about
gosh,
it.
Oh, gosh, no. So it was one of these things where you know that there are things going on and you know that they're being swept under the carpet, but you're not supposed to talk about it. And there's some sort of... Actually, there's a brilliant book by Fintan O'Toole that came out, I think it's a couple of years ago now, We Don't Know Ourselves. And it's really a social, political, cultural history of Ireland through his lifetime. He was born in 1958, if I'm right. It was something like 1958 to 2018. Mm. It was We Don't Know Ourselves. And he basically talks about this contract not to talk about the things that we actually know. You mightn't be able to define them, but you know there are things that are not right. But people didn't speak up.
Now, you were teaching and doing theater in the Bay Area for over 25 years.
Yes.
Then you came to Portland, and while living here, you founded Corrib Theater, also focused on
yes.
Irish plays. That was in 2012. You must have had some very valuable experience from your work with Wild Irish Productions in terms of starting and growing a theater company.
I did. Even though it was very different, you know, and the Bay Area is so, it's just so different than Portland because it's so big and so spread out. The lovely thing about Portland is I think of it as being compact, you know,
yes.
compared to the Bay Area, you know, San Francisco, Berkeley, San Jose, Marin. It's just all over the place. And I when I was working, because I worked as an actor, director, and dialect coach at times too, I drove everywhere, and because that's what you did. And I love in Portland, I can, you know, get around easily. I can cycle. I can get to most places. So I did have experience. You know, the funny thing was that in the beginning of my career as a director in the Bay Area, I avoided Irish plays. I really did because I didn't want to be branded as an Irish director. And it was only when I felt confident that I could say, after many years, I'm a director, that then I could take on Irish plays without feeling that people thought I could only direct Irish plays, right?
So kind of like a German avoiding German composers.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of the greatest in the world come from there.
That's right. That's right. So I'm very proud to direct Irish plays and of the ones that I directed over the years there.
Now, at Corrib, you were known for producing works by emerging underrepresented and diverse Irish playwrights, and not all Synge and
that's right. In fact, I deliberately avoided. In fact, I felt the well known ones, including the not just Synge and O'Casey and who I love. You know, they're wonderful, and they're all dead. But even the ones who were alive, who were brilliant at the time, Brian Friel was actually still alive. Beckett was not dead. That Beckett, he's one of the playwrights I love. But I wanted to do the ones that people didn't know about, and even the Conor MacPhersons or you know, there's a lot of wonderful contemporary writers, but they're done on Broadway or they're done other places. So, and also I felt female writers were severely underrepresented here. So that became my focus as well, to get to know. And actually on many of the, you know, for the theater tour, when I go there, one of the aspects of it is we meet with artists, with Irish artists. So I've met a lot of the playwrights whose work I've directed here, and they've come and talked to the group.
So yes, that's I wanted to get to the theater tour. I think going back to 2016 with your husband, Adam.
That's right.
It was the first theater tour. And then, of course, you didn't do it during the COVID year.
That's
so
right.
The one coming up this summer will be the sixth.
Yes.
What were the reasons for starting the tours? Was it to kind of expose Americans to these underrepresented artists and maybe talk to a few of the playwrights and the actors and directors?
Exactly. So it was a combination of wanting to share the wonderful drama over there with people here and, you know, people in the theater community, people who were friends of Carib and who were coming to see Carib plays, though anybody, of course, anybody all over the world, anybody from anywhere in the world can actually go because we start in Dublin, in Galway. We meet in Ireland. So in the beginning, it was like the local community and wanting them to see Ireland. And also, for me, a chance to also see new plays and for people to meet the playwrights and for me to meet the playwrights. And we decided to set it in July, which is the Galway International Arts Festival.
Oh, that's right. So July 22nd, August 1st, you start in Galway.
Yes.
And I read that it includes 8 performances, 4 in Galway, then 4 in Dublin.
That's right.
How do you choose which performances to attend? Based on the well-known theatres there, like the Abbey in Dublin?
The Abbey's in Dublin. We try, if there's something at the Abbey, I will always go. And there's something at the Gate, we will always go. And there's usually something. And then I try to look for smaller theatres and see what's going on. The Galway International Arts Festival is sort of an adventure because they don't announce, actually nowhere in Ireland, and it's not like here where you announce a whole season. Like in, you know, in the spring,
oh,
you announce
right.
your whole season. There, it's often play by play.
So you don't
even
know
in the bigger theaters.
You do
sometimes
you know it's going to be at the Abbey then. In
not now.
Oh, not.
In fact, I don't know anything now, and people don't even know what's going to be in the Abbey in like 3 months. You know, let alone in July. And the Galway Arts Festival, they announce after Memorial Day. So Adam and I get up in the middle of the night because they announce Irish time, you know. So we get up at like 3 or 4 in the morning to be ready for the announcement. And we've already alerted the theatres that we're bringing a group. And they know us now over the years because some of the theatres are quite small there. So then I quickly just get on, look at all the plays, and then I say this, and this, and then Adam goes and buys the tickets. And it's kind of fun.
And
yeah.
The tour not only includes these 8 performances and the conversations with some of the people producing those performances, but day trips and activities. I saw in Galway the cliffs of Moher, am I pronouncing it right? Connemara, the Aran Islands.
Yeah.
And then in Dublin, walking tours of Dublin. I remember I was there many years ago and I had to go to the Leopold and Molly Bloom house.
Yes.
Which was just a ruin at the time. I wonder if they fixed it up in all that time. It was just kind of a door with a number 6 on it, I think, and then crumbling walls.
Are you thinking of, I know, because you're thinking
the one
of
in
Ulysses.
Yes,
that's right.
The address.
That's right. Because Molly Bloom is, you know, from Galway. And her house is actually, you're like...
Wow, that I didn't
know. Joyce's wife, Nora. I'm mixing them up, you see, because they're the same person.
Yes, they're counterparts.
Do you see? I can't tell the difference. Ken, you've just caught me out. I can't tell the difference between fact and fiction.
It's perfect for an artist.
Yeah, Nora Barnacle's house is in Galway.
That's
still
right.
Still there. It's like a little museum. But yeah, there's so much to see. And the tour we do is sponsored by the Abbey. They, you know, we hire them to give us the walking tour. And it's a theatrical walking tour. So it focuses on theatre in Dublin, theatre space, voices. The stories are usually quite wonderful.
And maybe some of the sites like the massacre there. I remember passing the post office there, and a friend of mine was showing me the bullet holes.
Yes.
That were still there from 80 years previously.
From 1916, from the Easter insurrection, which ultimately led to Ireland becoming independent several years later. So yeah, that was historic. And actually the hotel we stay in, Wynn's, we stay in one of the oldest hotels in Dublin, a historic hotel.
I looked it up, and that is a very nice hotel.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
The Wynn's Hotel.
And it was part of the Easter insurrection.
Wow, because I read that it goes back to 1845.
That's right.
Around there.
That's right.
And they serve big Irish breakfast there.
Everywhere we go. So we stay in a guest house in Galway. We have a big Irish breakfast. That's all included, the big Irish breakfast, which in my view is breakfast plus lunch. So you're all set. And then we include several dinners as well. And then after every show, we go back and we talk about the play.
Now, one more question. In a previous interview on your theater work, you said that contemporary Irish plays are an important mirror for what's happening in the U.S. Ireland, of course, has a very troubled history, and we went into a little of that. And the U.S., sadly, has a very troubled present day.
It does.
So you see parallels there. Well, certainly abortion was legalized in Ireland, and now it might be banned in the U.S.
This is the sad thing. You know, when I came here many decades ago, one of the reasons I left was because of the narrowness of Ireland at that time. And the women didn't really have rights and you know, all the usual stuff that happened in many other countries. But I didn't see that many possibilities for me. And of course, it was very, it was very tight. Everybody was held very tight. And America meant freedom, as it did to many people. Right. And to me, it seems that that's reversed, very sadly. And Ireland has led the way in terms of gay rights, in terms of marriage equality.
And we're going backwards. Well, Gemma, with that, ending on a sad note, I'm sorry about that, but many thanks for joining us live at KBOO today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
We've been talking with Gemma Whalen, Portland-based and Irish-born writer, director, and educator. Gemma, along with her husband, Adam Lieberman, will be leading their sixth annual Irish Theatre Tour this summer from July 22nd through August 1st. You can find out more online at shanganapress.com, and you can learn more about Gemma and all her work at gemmawhalen.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News In Depth.